Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and the glimpse of heaven's glory that we can taste while we are on the earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let our earthly worship be given to you, and let your angels sing together with us. And let your word be spoken to each one of us so that we would be completely set apart to be a holy nation. Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us and hover over us and to be in our midst to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could you a little bit volume up a little bit? You know, today we are going to talk about Jesus being the light of man. We are very glad that God created light as part of his creation process. But what if God did not create the light? What would it be like? Not only this physical world, but also our spiritual world. I remember that we had the basement in a house we lived when I was a teenager. To get to the basement, I had to go outside of the house and took downward spiral shaped stairs, kind of, you know, going around that to get to the basement. As I got down deeper to the lowest level of the stairs, the darkness began to engulf me into its realm. I was so scared of that dark, I still remember. The only way I can do anything meaningful in the basement is to bring my own flashlight and then light up. Unless I do that, I couldn't do anything there. It's a pitch dark. In our spiritual life, Jesus is the light of man. So, if you will, would you please turn with me, first of all, John chapter 8, verse 12. Gospel of John, chapter 8, 12. And again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, Jesus did not mean he is the light in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. What is light? When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, or I am the light of man, what does he really mean? You know, light is associated with the truth and understanding in a sense of enlightenment. Light is also associated with the direction of the path, as in a lighthouse. Lighthouse gives the direction to the ship during the night. So in that sense, light is associated with giving the direction of the path that we take. So without light on our path, we are simply lost. And so that's what Jesus had in mind. He is the light of the world. He is the source of wisdom and understanding, and he is the directive light for our path so that we would not get lost. But here Jesus also said, he is the light of the world. He did not say, I am a light. He said, I am the light of the world. He really meant, he is the only light of the world. You know, Christmas just passed, we can think of Christmas tree light. There are so many different light bulbs. Jesus didn't say he is a light out of many, but he is the light. What that means is Without Jesus, we only have darkness. So it is Jesus or darkness. From that sense, Jesus said, He is the light of the world. Without Him, we only have this pitch dark in our spiritual life. We would not know the truth. We would not have any understanding. And we would not have any wisdom without Jesus. And also, we would never be able to find our own path without the light Jesus flashes on our path. So if the world is going to have a light, that is Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no light in the world. It is Jesus or darkness. So that's what he meant. I am the light of the world. If you turn with me to chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 4. We looked at this verse last week, but let's look at it once more. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The last week we talked about the life we have, the eternal life, is from Jesus, and he has imparted on us this eternal life, the life that we can know God, the life that is radically different from the life we had. So he is the source of this life. But here he says, John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, you know, verse 4 is basically saying this new life that we experience with Jesus brings another important thing, which is light. I was meditating on the Message Bible, which is written by Eugene Peterson. And he actually termed in this verse, Jesus is light, life light, life dash light. I think that's a very genius. Jesus is life and light at the same time. When you have a new life, you have this new light that enlightens your internal soul so that you would know where to turn because of the presence of Jesus in you. And this life and light are the gift to those who believe. To those who have eternal life, you have this light of Jesus in you so that you know that what you know about Jesus is the truth. And what he said is true, and you know that you are on the right path. And if you look at verse 5, I believe this, I printed here, on the screen. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You know, what does that mean? There are two realms in this world, the realm of light and the realm of darkness. What is darkness? Darkness literally means the state of being void of light. It's a gloom. But also, it means a darkening of the mind or spirit, a spiritual sense. And the darkness is hostile to the light. And darkness stands for the sphere of all those who hate the good and the truth. And the darkness seems to stand for ignorance, which is willful ignorance, which refuses the light of Jesus Christ. You know, if you look at the world, you know, any time since time of Jesus, there has been always light, and there has been always the darkness. Even nowadays, we still have this the sphere where there is no Christ in their heart, or it's a sphere where the mind of people refuses the light of Jesus Christ. They continue to deny, continue to stay in the dark. If you look at 8:12 once more, it says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have life of the light of life. So according to this verse, we either follow Jesus, and if we don't follow Jesus, we are still walking in the darkness. Jesus did not give any gray area. Either we follow him or we remain in the darkness. If we continue to walk in the darkness, which is our natural state, if you are born as a person, you know, as a default, we are in the dark, unfortunately, because we didn't have life of God, life of Jesus in us. That is called sin. The nature of sin is us being separated from God by birth. So our default position is being in the darkness. So if you continue to walk in the darkness, there is the willful ignorance of Jesus, and we must stop walking in the darkness in order to follow Jesus. So when we follow him, we have the light of life, only when we follow him. And if we decide not to follow him, we still live in that darkness. Whether we like it or not, that's how Jesus looked at it. You know, that's why darkness is associated with the refusal of the light of Jesus, as they still want to walk in the darkness, as this verse has this phrase, was in the darkness. And so darkness stands for life without Jesus. Yeah, I realized Youngji is holding Lincoln. Amazing. And if you look at verse 5 once more, the second part, the darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness did not comprehend the light. Comprehend. What does comprehend means? Comprehend is simply understanding. It's a process to process information. In other words, it's understand or grasp. I believe the darkness did not comprehend the light of Jesus simply because the darkness never understood the light. With the mindset of the world, it is impossible for the darkness to understand the light. So we are talking about the mindset. The mindset of the world, which is called darkness, does not comprehend the realm of light. Because to the men of the world who are in the dark, Jesus is simply a sheer foolishness. Let's jump to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. John is described the same passage as 1:5 in a little bit more personal way. What does that mean? The world, the darkness does not comprehend the light. He now explains in a little bit more personal way. He says the world did not know him. The word know in Greek always portrays with the relational knowledge. And I know someone. I have experienced the love of that person, in that sense, that's no. So the world does not know him means the world has not experienced Christ. That's why they didn't have comprehension. They don't have understanding about Jesus. So the only way to know Jesus is to get out of the dark and get into the light. While we are still in the dark, we would never be able to experience Jesus. And let's look at verse 11. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And John again explains a similar concept in different words. This time, he used the word receive. The world, the darkness, does not comprehend the light. And that's why darkness does not know the light. And that's why the people living in the darkness did not receive Jesus. But one thing that we need to pay attention is, he came to his own. Jesus regarded everyone in the world as his own because he is the creator of them all. His own, however, did not receive him. And what that means is people of the world did not accept him. Receive is just accept. But not everyone rejected Jesus when he came. And there were some who did receive him and welcome him. And to them, verse 12, which is our key verse today, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So we can see that believing and receiving are the same terms. But in this verse, there is a sense where a person is not naturally a child of God. Although they belong to God, they are not necessarily a child of God in a natural sense. There is a sense where a person has to become a child of God from this verse. So everyone in this world is of God. God made them all. God still feels the ownership of everyone in this world. However, only those who received Jesus, believed in his name, are regarded the children of God. So there is a sense from this verse that a person has to become a child of God. You know, there are two sons for a father. The older one never does anything else but uses his home. Although his use, through his use, he takes everything that the home has to offer and gives nothing in return. His father worked hard and sacrificed to give him his chance in life, but the son took it aright, never realizing what he was taking and making no effort to deserve it or repay it. When he left home, he made no attempt to keep in touch. The home has served his purpose, and he's finished with it. He realized no bond to be maintained and no debt to be paid, no appreciation to be communicated. He is his father's son. To his father, he owes his existence, and to his father, he owes what he is. But between him and his father, there is no bond of love and intimacy. The father has given all in love, but the son has given nothing in return. On the other hand, there was a younger son who all his life realized what his father is doing and has done for him. And he took every opportunity to show his gratitude by trying to be the son his father would wish him to be. As years go on, he grows closer to his father. The relationship of the father and the son becomes the relationship of fellowship and friendship. Even when he leaves home, the bond is still there, and he is still conscious of a debt that can never be paid. In the one case, the older son grows further away from the father. In the other, the younger son grows nearer the father. Both are the sons, but the sonship is very different. The younger one has become a son in a way that the older one never was. There can be contact without communication, and there can be relationship without fellowship. All men are the sons of God in a sense that they owe to God the creation and the preservation of their lives. You know, Lincoln came today. He may not realize yet, but Lincoln has Molly and Daniel as a biological parent. We hope that Lincoln grow to appreciate his parents, who has given them the creation and the preservation as to who he is, and even his name, great name, Lincoln. Is that correct? We bless him so that he grow to be appreciative of what his dad and mom have sacrificed. So it is the claim of John that man can enter into that true and real sonship how? By believing in the light, by accepting, receiving him, Jesus Christ. Only by receiving him and believing in his name, a man can enter into that true and real sonship that God had envisioned. And verse 13, I think, and who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. What does that mean? It talks about the new birth that we have when we receive Jesus, when we believe in Jesus. We have this new birth. So the three things takes at the same time. New life, and new light, and new birth. Those things take place at the same time when we receive Jesus. When we believe in his name, those three things happen at the same time. But he said it is born of God. It's not born of the blood. What does that mean? Born not of the blood. You know, Jewish people, John is talking about in the Jewish context because Jewish people believe that they are the only descendant of Abraham. So they have to be the Jews to be God's children. So that's why they had been very exclusive. So when Jesus, the gospel, reached to the Gentile people, foreign people, they really didn't like it. Even Apostle Paul, when the gospel of Jesus Christ were reaching Samaria and beyond, he was actually persecuting the church because he misunderstood the privilege of the being children of God only meant to be the Jews. Even these days, I believe in Judaism, it's very exclusive because they believe they are the only authentic descendant of Abraham, born of the blood. But the John is saying that this new life, new light that we have in Christ is not born of the blood. It's open to everyone. Whether you have, you are Jew or non-Jew, or whether you are Asian, you are African, or you are European, it doesn't really matter. It's not born of the blood, but born of God. It's not the will of the flesh, nor will of man. It has nothing to do with our own initiative. We cannot be a child of God by our own will. That's what all the religion of the world is trying to do, by doing what I can do. By doing the good things from my perspective, I can reach to the level of God. So that is not what John is saying. We never be able to be a child of God by our own will, by our own effort. God has to open that, initiative. That's why it's a born of God. It's from God. And only thing that we can do is just to receive it, accept it, and believe in the name. So God has given the right to become children of God to those who receive Christ. That's what it means. It's born of God. God initiated. God sends His Son so that we would be able to receive it. It's born of God, and yet there is a human responsibility, which is simply accept and take and appropriate it by faith. A human father may offer his love, his son, love, sacrifice, and friendship, and the son may refuse it and prefers to take his own way. It is so with God. God offers us the right to become His children, but it takes our acceptance to His kind offer. You know, John says, we do accept God's offer by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, what does it mean, believing in the name? Believing in the name. We also sang a song that name of Jesus is above all other names. What is that, you know, that this name means? It's not so much by calling name itself. You know, calling Jesus, you know, it's not so much of a calling His name, but trusting what His name points to. By doing so, by trusting what the name of Jesus points to, we become children of God. So believing in the name of Jesus Christ means, you know, putting our trust in what He is. Basically, who He is and what He said as absolutely binding. You know, many people try to find what is truth. And if you believe in the name of Jesus, you'd focus on what Jesus said about the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. So receive Jesus, or believe in Jesus means you believe in what He says. Jesus says He is the truth, so I take it. And anything else that contradicts to the truth that Jesus talked about, I don't take it. I refuse that. That's what it means, believe in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said He has given us eternal life. And how do I know that I have eternal life? Because I take what Jesus said as a face value. Take it. You know, my life is, He's in my life, and He comes in when I said yes to Him. So I take it, and I have eternal life. And Jesus said, I am the way. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. How do I know I will be resurrected? By taking what He says. He said, those who believe in Me, even if you die, you will have this life eternal. You will be resurrected just as I was resurrected. So it's very uncertain what will happen after death, to be honest. But still trusting in what He said is true and then appropriate it in my life. And trust that. That's what it means, believe in His name. And Jesus said also, if you really know Me, you will know My Father as well. This is a very profound statement. How do we know God? Through Jesus. You know, how do we know God's love? Through the love of Jesus. How do we know God's holiness? Through the holiness of Jesus. So I trust what Jesus said. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. So, Son and the Father are not separable. And take it. Trust that. A lot of people have notion of God, you know, different types of imagination or culture or, you know, whatever. But I take what Jesus says is true. Only through Jesus I can know the Father and take it. And Jesus also said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. This is an amazing statement. Thank you. Thomas came to Jesus, please show the Father. And Jesus said, anyone has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus is the embodiment of God's kindness, love, gentleness, and service, and holiness. You know, what that means is, through Jesus, we can know who God is. That's it. And then take that to your heart, to my heart, and continue to live based on that foundation Jesus spoke. That's what it means to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. That means to trust who he is and what he says as absolutely binding. And to those who believe in the name of Jesus, they become children of God. It's not my emotion. Do I feel it? No, I don't feel it. But can I know it? Yes, I can know it because that's what Jesus says. As we dwell on what Jesus said is true, we begin to feel that as well. We begin to experience this life, that he truly lives in us as we accept him, as we receive him, and continue to believe in him. And we become children of God. And this conviction is not from my emotion, but what based on what Jesus says. You know, that's why it's absolutely, you know, binding, because it doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on my sinful nature. It doesn't depend on my emotional swing, but depend on what Jesus says. That's why we can have this conviction, not because I'm good, but because I was regarded good and righteous because of the righteousness and goodness of Jesus in me. So to those who believe in the name of Jesus, they become the children of God, born of God. So there is new life, new birth. I said new life, new light, and new birth. They are the package deal as we receive Jesus, as we take him as our Lord and Savior. We get these three things, eternal life, and we have light, we have understanding, we have the direction, we have this conviction, and we have this the new birth taking place in us through believing in Jesus. So this new birth is by receiving Jesus, who is your life and your light. Jesus said, in him, John said, in him was life. Life is originated from Jesus. And that's why when we believe him, we have this eternal life. We can begin now. And it said, the life was the light of men. Because we have this eternal life, now we can see the light, true light, that gives us direction, gives us understanding and wisdom. And only in Jesus is there eternal life. Why Why Christianity is so exclusive? You know, at one point, you know, when I was searching for the truth, I thought Christianity is too exclusive. How can they say they are the only way? Now I realize why they are saying, because Jesus, that's what Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way, you can try something else. You know, Roman Catholic, they compromise the word of God by saying there could be alternative way to reach salvation that is not necessarily only through Jesus Christ. But that's not what Jesus said. So that's why I cannot take what Roman Catholic compromised in 1948 in one of the council in Vatican. They said there are alternative ways to reach Jesus. But that's not what Jesus said. That's why I know that what the Vatican Council said in 1948 is wrong. Not because I know more than them, but at least I trust what Jesus said is true. I am the way. And only through me you can see the Father. Only through me you can reach the Father. And he said, take the narrow path and go into the narrow gate. That's why it's exclusive. It's narrow. I don't mind. I would be labeled as narrow-minded because that's what the mind of Jesus. Only through the way that he offers, we can enter into this eternal life, the kingdom of God. So only in Jesus is there eternal life. And that's why I don't pursue other religion. I don't have desire to know how other religion works. There are good elements in other religion as well. I grant that. But I know, based on what Jesus says, based on what I believe, there is only one way, which I knew already. It's only in Jesus Christ, only in the name that God has given. God has given no other name but the name of Jesus. Because only through him can our deadness be replaced with life and the blindness be replaced with light. So come to him. Come to him and believe in him. As we said yesterday, I mean last week, this belief is not just a one-time thing. It's a continue to believe. Continue to believe. As we take the word of God daily, continue to believe in him. And receive him who is the life and the light. And he will be your life and he will be your light. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your plans. You have great plans. Thank you that you are the creator and you are the preserver of all our life. You are the sustainer. But we thank even more because you sent your son Jesus into our life so that we would become a child of God by believing in the name of Jesus. Help us to understand and receive this truth. Let our life be filled with this joy and peace and conviction because Christ lives in us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. From experiencing you, we can experience your Father. And thank you for the truth that you have spoken, which you take to our heart, so that we would live the same life that you had, to your glory, to your Father's glory. Holy Spirit, come and help us as you are the helper sent by Jesus and the Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.